Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson today and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, you can call in at 7 p.m., and give your comments or your thoughts on what the writer is saying. Amen? So at this time, I want to pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart
together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
Father in heaven, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. We choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you place in our hearts. We trust you today, Lord Jesus, with everything that we are. Father God, bless those who have lost their loved ones in the collapsing of the building. The total is now 36. Touch those family members. Comfort them in a mighty special way and guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God, to let them know that one day they will see their loved ones again, Father God. Thank you for life. Thank you for strength. Thank you for everything that you are doing and everything that you're going to do and everything that you have done, Lord God. We praise your holy name. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We love you, Father God. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our loved ones. We thank you for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We thank you for our neighbors. We thank you for even for our enemies, Lord God. We ask that you bless each and every one in a mighty special way. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Not our will be done, but your will be done. And guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. Bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God. Touch them in a special way. Guide them where you would have them to go, Lord God. And comfort them in their times of troubles and bring peace to the nations, Lord God. Bless the United States of America, Lord God. Bless our president, our vice president. Bless our former president, Obama, Lord God. Even bless President Trump and his family, Lord God. And bless all of those that are in authority right now, Lord God. And guide us all in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. And thank you, Lord God, for sending your one and only son to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have through him eternal life, Lord God. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine will come with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. If you would like to join us and give your comments or your thoughts on what the writer is saying, you are welcome, welcome, and welcome. We are here every day to pray for one another. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why this program is up every day from Tuesday to Saturday, because we are here to pray for each and every one of you and to pray for one another and to love on one another and to teach each other about Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I'm going to play another selection entitled I Am by Jason Nelson. Praise God.
Of the universe, I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand, and if you believe on my word,
90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but
I am.
Yes, sir. tortured with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says, and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, in Deuteronomy 10 and 17 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, Elohim, Ha Elohim, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. Praise be to God. Elohim means the God of gods. Let us pray. God of gods, you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. You are the great and powerful all-knowing God. No one can force your hand. You do not bend to special interests, groups, or to pressure from people. Amen. You rule according to righteousness and truth. You show no partiality, but have made a way for all to come into a relationship with you through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you and lift up your name, Elohim, the God of gods, Lord of lords, and King of kings. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. At this time, I will play another selection, and following this selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening while we're waiting. Amen. Praise God. Hold on to the hem of his garment by Pastor R.D. Wiggins. Amen. Praise God.
Oh, yeah. Come,
And sometimes we don't treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't find a friend, can't stop your heart from hurting. You're searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on,
hold on
to the hem,
the hem
of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive his saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Heard a story about a woman who had an issue of blood. 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole.
Garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive and save and grace. Hold on,
hold on
to the hand
of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Oh yes. My. All you gotta do is hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Make a way for you. Hold on,
hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go. No, 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 no. Hold on,
hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh,
hold,
yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Hold
on
to the hem of his garment.
Lord, have mercy.
Hold on.
Hallelujah.
To the hem of his garment.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hold on to the hem of his garment. All right, it is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Our title for this message is Not Fatherless. Amen. And our scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 5 through 13. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise be to God. Where it says, now these verses are talking about Jesus' teaches about prayer. Amen. And it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues, where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title of this message is Not Fatherless. And the text for this message is coming from Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, John Sower, in his book, Fatherless Generation, writes that no generation has seen as much voluntary father absence as this one, with 25 million kids growing up in single parent homes. In my own experience, if I dumped into my father on the street, I would not have known him. My parents were divorced when I was very young, and all the photos of my dad were burned. So for years, I felt fatherless. Then at age 13, I heard the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And said to myself, you may not have an earthly father, but you now have God as your heavenly father. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Matthew 6 and 9, we are taught to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The previous verses, verse 7 says not to keep on babbling when praying, and we may wonder how these verses are connected. I realize that because God remembers, we don't need to repeat. He truly understands, so we don't need to explain. He has a compassionate heart, so we don't need to be uncertain of his goodness. And because he knows the end from the beginning, we know his timing is perfect. Because God is our Father, we don't need to use many words to move him. Through prayer, we are talking with a Father who loves and cares for us and made us his children through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. Question, when have you tried to move God in prayer by using many words? And how does having a relationship with him as your Father help you to trust him? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making us your children and for being a father that becomes, a father that welcomes us into his presence through prayer. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when we pray, give us today the food we need, we are acknowledging that God is our sustainer and provider. It is a misconception to think that we provide for our needs ourselves. We don't. We must trust God daily to provide what he knows we need. Amen? Because God will give you what you need. Not necessarily everything that you want, but he does provide for every need. Amen? So God sometimes allows us to be tested by temptation. As disciples, we should pray to be delivered from these trying times and for deliverance from Satan, the evil one, and his deceit. All Christians struggle with temptation. Sometimes it is so subtle that we don't even realize what is happening to us. God has promised that he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Ask God to help you recognize temptation and to give you strength to overcome it and choose God's way instead. Amen. To God be the glory. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson, where we go from every week we discuss one book in the Bible and we read it, we dissect it, we understand it, and it is an awesome, awesome lesson. So if you would like to join us, you tune in at 7 p.m. when First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to give us our lesson for this evening. Amen. So in the meantime, I will play another selection.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you're greater. Greater than all,
Praise be to God. Elohi, Elohim, how blessed are those who trust in you. You make their path straight and guide them into the way everlasting. You are closer than a brother and more faithful than a spouse. You are also higher than any other. You are the God of gods. Forgive us for looking to idols, those things we look to in place of you when we are in need or facing a trial. Forgive us for making our career an idol, or our statues, or even our relationships. Have mercy upon us. Elohi, Elohim, and draw us close to you. Amen, amen, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. So again, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection.
Of wisdom, you said, raise yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no I don't deserve your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Like thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover.
Forever I trust in your glory.
God. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge my co-host online. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God.
Good.
Well, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. And so I will play a short selection and find out what happens. Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. I feel like Tasha Cobbs. I feel like.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it right there. In emotion.
Up inside.
Praise be to God. Whew, what a wonderful, wonderful song. So at this time, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise
thank you, thank you. Praise God. Hi, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. How's everyone doing on this? Oh, it looked like we had a thunderstorm out there, right?
Where were you?
Got in the house in the nick of time.
Wow.
That was definitely out there. Anyway, so let's open in prayer. Dear God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We praise and thank you for the thunderstorms, Lord God. Yes. We thank you, Lord God, for everything, Lord, you know, that we can be here to experience it, Lord God, because we know what the alternative is, Lord God. Although the alternative is not bad, because to be with you, Lord God, is the best place for us to be. But we thank you, Lord God, for the time that we have to spend here, Lord God, that we can fulfill your purpose, Lord God, for our lives, Lord God, as you give us, you know, the knowledge of what it is that you should have us to do and how it is that you want us to be, Lord God. And that's what studying your word is about, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you, Lord God, because this only brings us closer to you, Lord God. And this is exactly where we want to be. So open up our hearts, open up our minds, Lord God, so that we can receive what it is that you will have us to receive. And I call on the Holy Spirit to guide my tongue, Lord God, so that what comes out of it, Lord God, is pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord God, for all those who are here today. And I ask a special blessing for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So last week we ended with reading chapter 9. We read the whole chapter. And just to review it, chapter 9 is one of the key chapters of Amos. And it's set in the midst of a harsh judgment of Amos are some of the greatest prophecies of restoration of Israel anywhere in scripture. Within the scope of just 5 verses, the future of Israel becomes clear as the Abrahamic, the Davidic, the Palestinian covenant are focused on their climatic fulfillment in the return of the Messiah. Everything that happens points to the coming of Jesus Christ. So Christ in Amos. So it says the clearest anticipation of Christ in Amos is found at the end of the book. He has all authority to judge. And if somebody could read chapter 9. Of Amos verses 11 through 15.
11 through 15, I have that.
Yes.
Blessings like wine pouring off the mountain, but also on that judgment day, I will restore David's house that has fallen to pieces. I'll repair the holes in the roof, replace the broken windows, fix it up like new. David's people will be strong again and seize what's left of enemy Edom, plus everyone else under my sovereign judgment. God's decree, he will do this. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim, one thing fast on the heels of another, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything again for my people Israel. They'll rebuild their ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work their gardens and eat fresh vegetables. And I'll plant them on their own land. They'll never again be uprooted from the land I've given them. God, your God says so. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Farr. So God's restoration, I mean, he promises to restore his people. And that restoration points to just the anticipation of Christ. And so the contribution to the Bible, we see the proportion of judgment compared to hope and blessing is higher in Amos than in the other prophets. Only the last five verses offers a word of consolation and promise. Amos stands as one of the Bible's most direct and incisive prophets. Consider, for example, his description of the greedy woman of Samaria. And that's, Hilda, can you get 4 and 1? This is the greedy woman of Samaria. 4 and 1.
Mm-hmm. 4 and 1 says, "Listen to me, you fat cows living in Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and who are always calling your husband, bring us another drink." Amen.
Amen. He's very descriptive, right? This is what
he was talking about. The rich women, because they were, rich and fat, looking like cows and depressing the poor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And then Amos was the first of the two writing prophets to the northern kingdom. Amos was the first of the two writing prophets to the northern kingdom. So, Sister Barbara, can you get, and I'll tell you when to read it, Amos 3:1-12, and Hilda, if you can get Amos 7:10, and then 14 and 15.
1 and then 12.
Mm-hmm.
The lion has roared. Listen to this, Israel. God is calling you to account, and I mean all of you, everyone connected with the family that he delivered out of Egypt. Listen. And 12, God's message, in the same way that a shepherd tries to save a lamb from a lion, manages to recover just a pair of legs or the scrap of an ear, so will little be saved of the Israelites who live in Samaria. A couple of old chairs at most, the broken leg of a table.
Amen. Amen. And then 7 and 10
says, "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is hatching a plot against you right here on your very doorstep. What he is saying is intolerable." Okay.
Right. And 14 and 15.
14 and 15 says, "But Amos replied, I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd
and I take care of sycamore trees, fig trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. Amen.
Right, right. So this is where we see, you know, that we know that the proof that Amos, he was a prophet to the northern kingdom. And unlike Hosea, he was a resident of Judah, not of Israel. Well, that's, what do you think about that? that Amos actually was a resident of Judah, and God sends him to Israel.
To my people, Israel.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's like, you may, wait, I got to move from Judah to go to Israel and prophesy up kings I don't even know. Like, I don't know those people. I was born in Judah. You sent me to Israel. Ain't there a prophet there you can talk to? And there's somebody there, Lord, that you can ask to prophesy.
Those were his people. He didn't know him, but
they were the Jews. Yes, they were. But that, I think that's really interesting that he didn't even live in the northern kingdom. Amos lived in Judah. Mm-hmm. So here are some generalized comparisons between their two books and the two books of Hosea and Amos. So the comparisons are, let's see, the first one is that Hosea preaches against adultery. Amos preaches against injustices. Mm. Hosea commands the people to know God. Amos commands the people to seek God. Mm-hmm. Hosea rebukes religious inequities. And Amos rebukes social inequities. What do they mean by inequities?
Mm-hmm. Things that are not equal, things that are not right. One group is rich, like the fat cows that Zazis read about. They, you know, shun the poor and they abuse and they're mean to the poor. And so things are not equal. Inequities.
Right. So religious inequities would be would be priests who were not really preaching what they're supposed to be preaching, right? They were basically, because when we talk about Hosea preached about, you know, adultery. So you had, he rebukes these religious inequities where they were worshiping, you know, these idols.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that Judah rebuked the social inequities, is like Sister Barbara said, feeding the poor, the hungry, you know, taking off their sandals, you know, all of the social things, inequities that the rich did to the poor.
Pressing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Barbara. And the next one is that Hosea aims at their worship of God. So he's looking at how they worship God. And Amos is looking at how their walk with God, versus their worship with God. Hosea stresses their need for knowledge of God. And Amos stresses their need for justice. Hosea, quote, I don't delight in your sacrifices. So he didn't delight in their sacrifices, because why do you think Hosea's emphasis was the sacrifices?
Weren't they sacrificing to idol gods?
Yeah, right. That's right. I mean, we see the first thing was that he preached against adultery. And so they're idolizing.
Yeah.
Idolatry. Thank you. idolatry. So if they are, you know, worshiping idols, then they're sacrificing, right? And he didn't like the sacrifices that they were making.
Nope.
And then Amos says, I hate your offerings.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't like their offerings to God because it was false, right?
Yes.
Their offerings didn't mean anything.
Mm-mm. They were empty.
And Hosea majors on image worship. And Judah little on image worship. So, you know, he majors on image worshiping because of all the, why do you think his main thing was image worship? What do you know about idolatry?
Isn't that where they worship anything that they love more than God?
Well, at that time, they specifically, that's us. Anything other than God, that's us. That's our idolatry. Well, we worship money and we worship things, but the images, what did they mean by
like
what did
statues.
What did the Israelites? Yes, yes,
statues.
Exactly. Yeah. Statues, golden calves, you know, all
yes.
the things,
yes.
all of golden things that they built to worship. Right, exactly. And then we have where we have Hosea describes Israel as a privileged people.
Mm-hmm.
And Amos describes Israel as a privileged people. So they both agreed on this.
Because they were privileged.
These people, yeah, yeah, yeah. They were absolutely felt privileged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they turned their back on God, but they had the nerve to feel privileged, right?
Yeah.
And so we have Hosea.
Mm-hmm.
Much about the loyal love of God. I mean, he talks a lot about the loyal love of God, but Amos talks little about the loyal love of God.
Why is that?
And I don't know. Because his emphasis. He preached about the injustices
mm-hmm.
of the people, how the people were, right? Social
right.
inequities. He was more focused on the injustices of the people.
Uh-huh.
Because of the injustices, he really didn't focus on the loyal love of God, but you can see how Hosea would. He's like, because he's like, God, you know, how do you turn your back and worship idols?
Right.
Turn your back on a God who is loyal and love you so much. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
right.
What's wrong with you people?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have where we have Hosea calling for the repentance,
mm-hmm.
for them to repent. And then you have Amos arouses the conscience. And, I mean, some of these comparisons I don't really get. Some of them I just don't really get. But we have Hosea addresses Israel as a family.
Mm-hmm.
But Amos addresses Israel as a state. Now, this is the state of Israel.
Okay.
Okay, so we have Hosea deals with his homeland.
Mm-hmm.
right? So Hosea, we know it's from Northern. But you have Amos who's dealing with foreigners. And these are really foreigners to him. Even though he's from Judah, but these people are foreigners to him. Because remember also that Judah and Israel, you know, they didn't get along that well. They had a few wars between them.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're both God's people, but they really didn't mingle that much.
Okay. That explains.
So you have, the next one is a national message that comes from Hosea.
Mm-hmm.
But Amos gives a universal message. This message is more universal to all people.
Right.
Hosea is national, meaning that it's just for the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Hosea refers much to the past. Amos refers little to the past. Hosea refers to the grace of God. And Amos to the righteousness of God. And righteousness has to do with injustices, you
mm-hmm.
know. Right? Because of God's righteousness, he punishes the injustices.
Right.
And then we see Hosea talking about God's love and kindness, but Amos is talking about God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And Hosea speaks of the complex character of God, and Amos speaks of the simple character of God. Hosea is a poet. Amos is a philosopher. Hosea is a mystic. Amos is a moralist. And Hosea is sympathetic, but Amos is stern. So this is how they compare the two prophets
mm-hmm.
as they prophesied to northern Israel, because they both prophesied to northern Israel.
Right.
So now Amos displays a detailed understanding of the Pentateuch. And
mm-hmm.
what is the Pentateuch?
The first five books of the Bible.
Go ahead. Yes.
I told you I will never forget that.
I know. And you did it.
Because it always seemed to come up in the lesson.
Exactly. So, compare these examples. So, compare Amos to... So you take Amos 2 and 7
mm-hmm.
and compare it to, first use Amos 2 and 7.
Yeah.
And then Sister Barbara get Deuteronomy 23, 17 and 18. We want to compare these two verses, see how he refers to the Pentateuch.
Okay. You want me to read 7 now?
Yes, please.
Okay. It says, they trampled helpless people in the dust and shoved the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son slept with the same woman, corrupting my holy name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow. And Deuteronomy 23. 17, 18. Sister Barbara?
She's still on. Maybe she
can hear her. Yes.
But I don't. Oh, okay.
Oh, good. Can you read Deuteronomy 23:17-18, please?
Yes, ma'am. 23:17-18,
21.
Mm-hmm.
22, 17, 18. Okay. It says, short verse. No daughter of Israel is to become a sacred prostitute, and no son of Israel is to become a sacred prostitute. And don't bring the fee of a sacred whore or the earnings of a priest pimp to the house of God, your God, to pay for any vow. They are both an abomination to God, your God. God's word is blessed.
Amen. So now you see how Amos makes reference to Deuteronomy 23:17-18 and Amos 2 and 7. So now let's see Amos 2 and 8. So if you can get 2 and 8, and I'll read Exodus 22 and 26.
2 and 8 says, at their religious festival, they lounged in clothing their debtors put up as security in the house of their God. They drink wine bought with unjust fines. Amen.
All right. So Exodus 22 and 26 says, if indeed you require the cloak of your neighbor as a pledge, you will return it to him at sundown. So... Mm-hmm. So they stretch themselves out besides every altar on clothing taken in pledges, and they drink wine brought with fine imposed in the house of their God. So they took these clothes in Exodus. They're supposed to return these pledges, but nope, not them. And then Sister Barbara, if you can get 2 and 12, and Hilda, can you read Numbers 6, 1 through 21.
Amos?
Yeah, Amos 2 and 12. And
mine goes to 13. But you made the youth training break training, and you told the young prophets, don't prophesy. You're too much for me. I'm hard-pressed to the breaking point. I'm like a wagon piled high and overloaded, creaking and groaning. Amen.
Right. And so just the in this, because I think this part is where it says, but you made the Nazarite. What does yours say, 12? Did it say you made, it says you made the Nazarite drink wine and command
but
the prophet, saying. Go ahead.
They're called the youth in training. You made the youth in training,
okay.
Break training.
Right, but specifically, you know, it's you know, the Nazarites. Because what do we know about the Nazarites?
They don't drink wine. They don't cut their hair. They don't eat the grape.
Exactly. So, Hilda, if you can read Numbers 6, 1 through 21.
Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. If any of the people, either men or women, take the special vow of a Nazarite, setting themselves apart to the Lord in a special way, they must give up wine and other alcoholic drinks. They must not use vinegar made from wine or from other alcoholic drinks. They must not drink fresh grape juice, and they must not eat grapes or raisins. As long as they are bound by their Nazarite vow, they are not allowed to eat or drink anything that comes from a grapevine, not even the grape seeds or skins.
They must never cut their hair throughout the time of their vows, for they are holy and set apart to the Lord. Until the time of their vow has been fulfilled, they must let their hair grow long, and they must not go near a dead body during the entire period of their vow to the Lord. Even if the dead person is their own father, mother, brother, or sister, they must not defile themselves, for the hair on their head is the symbol of their separation to God. This requirement applies as long as they are set apart to the Lord. If someone falls dead beside them, the hair they have dedicated will be defiled. They must wait for 7 days and then shave their heads. Then they will be cleansed from their defilement. On the 8th day, they must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will offer 1 of the birds for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. In this way, he will purify them from the guilt they incur through contact with the dead body. Then they must reaffirm their commitment and let their hair begin to grow again. The days of their vows that were completed before their defilement no longer count. They must rededicate themselves to the Lord as a Nazirite for the full term of their vows. And each must bring a 1-year-old male lamb for a guilt offering. This is the ritual law of Nazirite. At the conclusion of their time of separation as Nazirite, they must each go to the entrance of the tabernacle and offer their sacrifice to the Lord, a 1-year-old male lamb without defect or for a burnt offering, a 1-year-old female lamb without defect for a sin offering, a ram without defect for a peace offering, a basket of bread made without yeast, cakes of choice flour mixed with olive oil, and wafers spread with olive oil, along with their prescribed grain offerings and liquid offering. The priest will present these offerings before the Lord. First, the sin offering and the burnt offering. Then the ram for a peace offering along with the basket of bread made without yeast. The priest must also present the prescribed grain offering and liquid offering to the Lord. Then the Nazirite will shave their heads at the entrance of the tabernacle. They will take the hair that had been dedicated and place it on the fire beneath the peace offering sacrifice. After the Nazirite's head has been shaved, the priest will take for each of them the boiled shoulder of the ram, and he will take from the basket a cake and a wafer made without yeast. He will put them all into the Nazirite's hand. He said to 21. Then
okay.
The priest will lift them up as a special offering before the Lord. These are holy portions for the priest, along with the breast of the special offering and the thigh of the sacrifice offering that are lifted up before the Lord. After this ceremony, the Nazirite may again drink wine, This is the ritual law of the Nazarite, who vowed to bring these offerings to the Lord. They may also bring additional offerings if they can afford it, and they must be careful to do whatever they vow when they set themselves apart as Nazarites. Amen. Well, that's
when I see, when I read this, when I read this, the first thing comes to my mind is, thank God for Jesus.
Amen. Can you imagine if we had to do all of that?
Sacrifices. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank God for Jesus. So I have one question. Who do you know in the New Testament that's a Nazarite?
In the New Testament, that would be Jesus.
No.
No?
Jesus is not a Nazarite. Mm-mm.
Okay. Who else is in that would be a Nazarite?
Miss Barbara.
I don't know. She's dead somewhere.
Is Sister Barbara here?
Yeah, she's dead somewhere. She's probably in the back.
I know.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm here.
Oh, so who do you know in the New Testament that's a Nazarite?
In the New Testament?
Hmm. Yeah, let's turn to Luke 1, 13 through 15.
Luke 1.
So wouldn't cut his hair when doing wine.
Luke 1, 13 through 15.
13 through 15. It says, you want me to read it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Sister Barbara.
But the angel reassured him, don't fear, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Leap like a gazelle. I'm sorry. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. And not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature in God. Through 15?
Yes. Yes.
That was 15. It stopped there. But the next one says he'll drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God.
So the thing is that John the Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist was a Nazarite from birth. He was his life was dedicated to God, and he was also, they told him also that he, must not, drink wine or anything like that. So he is a Nazarite in the New Testament. Okay, so the next comparison is, these comparisons is basically to show us how Amos referred to them. So, like, he's telling these people, you made a Nazarite. Could you? Now, after all that we read about the Nazarite, Amos is telling them, but you made the Nazarite drink wine. It's like, what's up with you people? And commanded that the prophet saying, you shall not prophesy. You want to tell God's prophet he can't prophesy? That's what God put him there for, to prophesy.
Amen.
And you want to tell him that he can't prophesy. So Amos is quoted in Matthew, Acts, and Romans. So Hilda, if you can get Amos 4:11, and I'll read Romans 9:25.
4:11 says,
I destroyed some of your cities as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like charred sticks pulled from a fire, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. Amen.
Right. And Romans 9 and 29 says, and just as Isaiah foretold, if the Lord of hosts has not left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom and would have resembled Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that reference. And I'm not going to read them all. The next one is, Sister Barbara, can you get Amos 8 and 9? And yes. Hilda, get Matthew 24 and 29.
Okay.
Amos 8, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Reads, it goes from 9 to 10.
Okay.
On judgment day, watch out. These are the words of God, my master. I'll turn off the sun at noon. In the middle of the day, the earth will go black. I'll turn your parties into funerals and make every song you sing a dirge. Everyone will walk around in that with sunken eyes and bald heads. Think of the worst that could happen. Your only son, say, murdered. That's the hint of judgment day. That and much more. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Amen. And Matthew 24 and 29.
And this is Jesus speaking. He said, immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will give no light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken.
Right. And another version says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will, you know, so we can see how, you know, Matthew actually is quoting Amos, because Amos talks about the darkening of the land and days when that's going to happen.
Judgment
and then the
day.
Last comparison, judgment day, exactly.
Yeah.
The last comparison is Amos 9, 11, and 12. And Sister Barbara, could you get Acts 15, 16, and 18? So as soon as you get it, you can read it.
So the first, what's that, Amos 9?
Yeah.
In Acts 17?
Okay.
Yeah.
11 says, in that day I will restore the fallen house of David. I will repair its damaged walls. From the ruins I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. And Israel will possess what is left of Eden, and all the nations I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken, and he will do these things. Amen.
Sorry, Sister Barbara, it's Acts 15, 16 through 18.
Okay.
Not 17.
15, 16 through 18?
Mm-hmm.
Acts 15. 16 through 18. Yep. 16 through 18. Well, it goes from 13 to 18. James broke the silence. Friends, listen. Simeon has told us the story of how God, at the very outset, made sure that racial outsiders were included. This is the perfect agreement with the words of the prophet. After this, I'm going back. I'll rebuild David's ruined house. I'll put all the pieces together again. I'll make it look like new. So outsiders who seek will find. So they'll have a place to come to. All the pagan people included in what I'm doing. God said it, and now he's doing it. It's no afterthought. He's always known he would do this. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
So after all that they went through, God restored them, and he knew
that
once they were punished, they would still be restored, those that were left.
Amen.
Yep.
That's right. Praise God. Praise God.
Restoration.
So I'm going to read the survey of Amos. So Amos's message of the coming doom from the northern kingdom of Israel seems preposterous to the people. They like, they didn't believe it, right? Remember, they're
pure. It's kind of hard to understand you, Nadine, while you're chewing.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So Amos's message of the coming doom of the northern kingdom of Israel seems preposterous to the people. They're like, that ain't gonna happen. We're privileged. External circumstances have never looked better in the north. It was a time of booming businesses, bulging boundaries, and soaring optimism. However, the internal conditions have never looked worse. Injustice, greed, hypocrisy, oppression, and arrogance. Unsurprisingly, Amos's earnest and forceful message against Israel's sins and abuses is poorly received. The prophet of Israel's, and this is in quotes, the prophet of Israel's Indian summer, quote, presents a painfully clear message. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And that's 4 and 12. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, O Israel, prepare to meet your God.
That's right.
The four divisions of Amos are 1, the 8 prophecies, and that goes from chapter 1:1 to 2:16. Also, we have the 3 sermons, and that's chapter 3 to chapter 6, 3 sermons, and the 5 visions. And we see that in chapter 7 and chapter 9. And the 4th section is the 5 promises, which is 9:1-15. And so we see, so the 8 prophecies, which is, I said, chapter 1:1-2:16. And it says basically, because we read Amos, I mean, we read the book. We read these chapters. So Amos is called by God to the, to the inevitable task of leaving his homeland in Judah to preach a harsh message of judgment to Israel. Each of his 8 oracles in chapters 1 and 2 begin with the statement, for 3 transgressions of and for 4. The 4th transgression is equivalent to the last straw. The iniquities of each of the 8 countries is full. Amos begins with the nation that surrounds Israel as his catalog of
of catastrophes gradually spiraling in on Israel herself. Seven times God declares, I will send a fire, a symbol of judgment. And he says that in chapter 1, verse 4, where he says, I will send a fire against Hazael's house, and it will consume the citadel fortress of Ben-Hadad. He says it in verse 10 in chapter 4, so I will send a fire against the wall of Tyre, and it will devour its citadel mm-hmm. fortress. Mm-hmm. And then again in verse 12, so I will send a fire against Teman, and it will devour the citadel fortress of Bozrah. And he says it in verse 14, so I will kindle a fire against the walls of Rabbah, and it will devour its citadel fortress with a war cry on the day of battle, with a storm on the day of the violent tempest. And then again, verse 2, again, I will send a fire against Moab, and it will devour the citadel fortress of Goreth, and Moab will die amid uproar, amid war cries, and amid the sound of a horn. And who are the Moabites?
Those were the children of Lot, conceived through his daughter.
Yes. There was the oldest daughter, Moab. Moab was, the oldest daughter. And who was the younger daughter? What was her descendant?
I don't recall.
I remember.
Hilda.
I forgot.
The only one we don't know that we've never, and I think I'm going to make that a homework assignment, and as Barbara said, write it down and come back prepared with the information. Now, we know it's an Ammonite. So the Ammonites is from the younger daughter. The Moabites is from the older daughter. We know who the Edomites are. The Edomites are from Esau.
Wait.
But we don't know who the Hittites are.
The younger daughter is the
Hittite?
Who?
Huh? The younger daughter is the Ammonite. A-M-M-O-N-I-T-S. The Ammonite. Then we have the Moabite and the Edomite. Edomite.
Where they come from. So we got the Ammonite and the Edomite.
Edomite comes from Esau.
Edomite.
Yeah, Jacob's brother, Jacob's twin brother.
That was Esau, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, that's the Edomite. But for homework, we're going to look up the Hittite.
Oh, the.
So that yeah. I don't. I don't know who the Hittites come from.
The Hittites.
Yeah, the Hittites.
Spell that.
I think it's Hittites.
Hittites. So we are looking up what to find out who they are, what tribe they are.
Who did they originate from, the Hittites. Their origin, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know who are the Hittites. All right.
see that name so frequently in the Bible. Never really paid attention to it. Well, I paid attention,
right,
but
you know, when we see those names.
No, I said me.
I know. I feel like I see those names and we just like go over it, right? The Ammonites,
Okay,
so we're gonna stop here, and then we should be able. We look like we're gonna finish Amos next week, and we'll get into Obadiah. And Obadiah actually prophesied with between the Edomites and the Israelites. So that was his focus. Those Edomites.
So where we stop?
Amos.
We stop on Amos, and we have the three sermons. We begin with the
sermons. That's where we stop. Okay. Yeah, I like to check it off so I know where we stopped off.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. All right. And so that just a homework assignment too, since we started with the three sermons, particularly goes from chapter 3:1 to 6:14, because we're not going to read all of that. But if we read it before we come, then it probably will make more sense, right?
Okay. Let me write that down.
All right.
Read.
Chapter 3:1 to chapter 6:14.
Read through 6:14.
And we'll see the three sermons.
Okay. Date, so I will. Today is 7/6. One, Tuesday. Okay. Okie dokie.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's pray out. Mr. Barber, you want to pray us back?
Precious and Heavenly Father, a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle. Thank you for allowing us to see a beautiful day we've never seen before. Father God, bless everybody that's called this evening. Bless their families. Bless their friends. Bless them as they come and as they go. Bless them in any and every way that they need to be blessed, Father God. Heal them, Father God, whether it's spiritual, mentally, physical, relational, any way that they need to be touched, my God, heal them and touch them right now. I ask that you touch the bereaved families right now, those who are incarcerated, Father God. Bless the prisoners, as well as the correction officers and wardens. And please reform the police department, my God. Stop the killing and the hatred that is prevalent in this world today. I pray that you will go down to Surfside, Florida, and assist them in the rescue or the those souls that have been lost in that terrible condo crash and collapse. Encourage the families, Father God, as they're going through. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where their families are. Some on until the case somewhere, but even so, they don't know where they are. So I just pray for a miracle that things will be better than what it seems like it would be, that they have hope, Lord God. Give hope to the mayor. Give hope to the governor, the president. Bless the government right now, Father God, the president, the vice president, his cabinet, all those people. And Father God, while you're handing out blessings, remember me. I thank you, God, for all that you've done, all you're doing, all you're going to do. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't think enough. So thank you for your grace, your mercy, your favor, your unconditional love, your faithfulness, and just increase Allow us to be more like you. We want to be closer to you, Father God, as you draw nigh to us. And forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and allow us to be a little kinder to one another, to love on each other.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord God. All these blessings I ask in mighty and majestic name. Apostle Mother Wiggins, bless her in her absence. Bless Jake.
Yes,
bless any listeners that are not able to come on tonight. Let them know that you love them also. So in Jesus' majestic name, we pray these blessings upon all that are in the hearing and all that was mentioned. In your mighty name, and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise
God.
All right, guys, have a great, great week. See you tomorrow.
First Lady. Wait, we have homework for tomorrow?
Yes, we didn't get to get my students to do the Antichrist.
What about the Antichrist? What was the question?
What is the Antichrist?
Who is the Antichrist?
What is the Antichrist?
Okay, what?
Yeah, that's the question. What is the Antichrist?
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. First Lady, did my package come? Or did you send for it?
You mean your whatchamacallit?
Yeah.
Your sleep
thing? Did you ever send for it?
It's been here.
But I never got it.
Well, because Pastor been walking around with it in his book bag. And he was supposed to bring it when he got the food. Chrissy,
okay,
oh,
ladies, have a good one. Love you all.
Love you too.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right.
I can't believe he's walking around with the thing. It's not doing my knees any good that he's walking around with it.
Oh, shame, my God. I thought when he took it back out the bag, I said, you ain't give that to Hilda?
Oh, no.
Just sit there.
Oh, my goodness.
He'll come and bring it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Tell him this. Okay. My goodness. I was wondering, because I was walking today and my knees was killing me because I did too much walking. So I said, wait a minute.
Oh.
Did First Lady order the thing for me? I have to call her to find out. And then I get home and get occupied with something else and forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. God bless you.
Right.
I love you.
Oh,
are we having a meeting? Oh. Having the meeting tomorrow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I just wanted to know.
You've been missing it.
I've been missing it because I never remember Wednesday.
I forgot to tell you.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, I'll be there then since I know now that we're having it. So I'll remember to get it. 5 o'clock, right?
All right, sir.
Okay.
Yep, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
See you then.
Love you. Good night.
Bye.
I ain't
love you too. Good night.
Just closing us out.